Of Isaiah chapter 7. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at Isaiah 7 in its particular context. We'll see what the promise of the coming Isaiah meant, first of all, to Ahaz, who is the one who received the sign, and how it is, secondly, how it is promised comfort to us as well. So Isaiah chapter 7, let's find on page 679, Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rocks and on the thorn bushes and on all the pastures." And that's as far as we're reading here in Isaiah. And particularly our text is found in verse 10 through 17. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this time of year is known for its many gatherings. Many of our gatherings are when we get together with family and friends for our various Christmas celebrations. But if you live at distance from your loved ones, you may feel the pinch, you may feel the sting of wanting to gather with people who you cannot gather with. There is pain in being absent because there is comfort in being with the ones that you love and whose company you enjoy. But as comforting as it is to be present, to be with people that we enjoy being with, have you ever thought about the blessing that we have of having God present and comforting in his being with us? When it comes to choosing to be with people, we can choose to go to a place or we can choose to not go to that place. But what about our God? Will he choose to be with us? Will God choose to gather with us, to be in our presence, or to be in our midst? Well, today as we look here at Isaiah 7 and the promise of Emmanuel, we are going to see that in this promise of a coming child, God is including in that particular promise the promise of his presence, that God would be with us. And in the coming of Jesus Christ, that unique promise of God's presence is going to be fulfilled. It's right, it's good for God's people to sing songs like, O come, Emmanuel. We want God to be with us. We want God in our midst. But we should ask ourselves the question, is it always good news when God comes? Is it always necessarily good news when God shows up? You might remember that when God speaks, often the people who hear the message, the voice of the Lord, are filled with fear. Or when God sends his angels to announce the coming promise of his presence, often those who hear the message of the angels ask themselves this question, what kind of greeting is this? Is the presence, is the coming of God, is that good news or is it bad news? It depends what God is going to do. It depends what God is going to say. Even we find this after the fall into sin, that man could not dwell in the presence of God. Man was cast out of God's presence because of his sin, and yet God goes to man. God comforts man. with his presence. So we're going to be looking at this theme. Our gracious God promises the sign of Emmanuel to those who do not deserve this blessing. God gives the promise of the Emmanuel to those who do not deserve this blessing. At our first point, then, we are going to look at the particular context here in Isaiah 7. So as I said before, do please keep your Bibles open at this particular humbling context in which the promise of the Emmanuel is received. Going back to our passage in Isaiah 7, verse 10, the Lord speaks to Ahaz through Isaiah and says to Ahaz, "Ahaz, I want you to ask for a sign, any sign at all. Ahaz, I want you to ask for the greatest thing, the sign highest as the highest heaven or lowest as the deepest earth. Whatever sign it is, sign in heaven or sign on the earth, I want you to ask for a sign." The sign could be like the sun going back a few steps. It could be a sign like a fleece that was dry while the ground is wet. It could be a sign like a pillar of fire. It could be the sign like a rainbow. It could be a sign like water rolled back at the presence of the Lord and his chariots. Any sign at all. Ahaz, you pick the sign and I will give it to you. Now, why is it that Ahaz would need a sign? Why is Isaiah here coming to Ahaz, saying to Ahaz, "Ahaz, you need a sign and you need to ask for one"? Well, when we look at the particular context of what's going on here in Isaiah 7, King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, that's the southern tribes of Israel, King Ahaz, the king of Judah, has been surrounded by his enemies. If you look at the opening of this chapter, King Ahaz of Judah has been surrounded by two particular kings and their armies. You have Pekah, that is the king of the northern tribes, northern 10 tribes of Israel. And then you have Rezin, who is the king of Syria. So you have these two neighboring kingdoms that have come with their armies, and they've surrounded the people of Judah. They banded together against Jerusalem in war. Why would Ahaz need a sign? It's because he's surrounded by his enemies. He is facing complete annihilation at the presence of overwhelming odds, armies that want to wipe him out. So God, in his grace, sends Isaiah to Ahaz and says, "You pick a sign, whatever sign. If you want a sign of my presence and my power, you can pick it, you can choose it. Maybe the sign would be the complete annihilation of all these foreign armies." Yet what does Ahaz say? Ahaz says in verse 12, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Now that sounds pious enough. I'm not going to ask for a sign. I don't need a sign. But instead of asking the Lord for a sign, Ahaz chooses stubborn rebellion. Because Ahaz has been shaking in his fear, in his unbelief. The sign was a promise of an assurance, of comfort, because Ahaz is overwhelmed with fear. God, in his grace, sends Isaiah to Ahaz with a promise of protection and peace. But does he joyfully receive this message and embrace the promise? No. He wants nothing to do with the Lord, and he wants nothing to do with Isaiah, and he wants nothing to do with this sign that God has promised. So verse 12, he says, "No thanks, I will not ask." Instead of obeying the voice of God and asking for a sign, Ahaz stubbornly refuses. Now, when we think back to the particular context, why would Ahaz stubbornly refuse, or what were his plans? Well, we know if you read in 2 Chronicles 28, 2 Chronicles 28, King Ahaz has sent a message to the king of Assyria. He is calling on man. He is calling upon Assyria and the Assyrian army for deliverance. He does not want the deliverance the Lord promises and provides. He wants deliverance from the help of man. He trusts in armies and horses and kingdoms and powers. He does not want the sign that God graciously offers to him. But Ahaz chooses poorly, and he rejects what could have been a gracious gift and a miraculous deliverance. But God will not be silenced. The Lord says to Ahaz in verse 14, "You stubborn man, you refuse my sign, I'm going to give you a sign anyways. The sign is this: Emmanuel. The sign is this: God is going to be in your midst." So the promise of God coming and God appearing and God showing up is a promise that has a mixed message. Is it good news for Ahaz? Yes and no. Because the coming of God in the sign of Emmanuel is in the presence of Ahaz's stubborn rebellion. So when it comes to this promise of Emmanuel, it's important for us to remember that there are different levels or layers of fulfillment that are found throughout the history and the ages. For another example, if you look at Matthew 24, in speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem and the coming back of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory, Matthew 24 has direct fulfillment in that generation, but it's also pointing to a greater fulfillment that will be complete when Jesus Christ comes back on the clouds of glory on the last day. In a similar way, the promise of Emmanuel in our particular context has an immediate fulfillment, but also a fulfillment that will only be complete when Jesus Christ comes, as we read in the book of Matthew. So the promise of Emmanuel is a sign given to Ahaz in the presence of King Ahaz's stubborn rebellion, but it is also a promise of deliverance. This sign is seen in the presence of a child who will come, and as this child comes and grows in the presence of Ahaz, there will be a deliverance that is seen, a liberation from the enemies in the lifetime of that particular child. So let's start by going back to 7 verse 3, back in 7 verse 3. This is where the Lord says to Ahaz, says to Isaiah, "Go to Ahaz," and note that Isaiah is to take his son. So Isaiah has a very young child, an infant likely. His son, Sheir Jashub, is taken with Isaiah when Isaiah goes to Ahaz. So when Isaiah shows up in the presence of Ahaz, he has his son in his hands. It is this particular son that is spoken of in 7 verse 16, where we read about this growing up, and the time frame in which the promise of deliverance will be received is in the time frame of this particular child, Isaiah's son, growing up. So what kind of deliverance is here promised? The deliverance that is here promised is the deliverance when the nation of Syria and the northern tribes of Israel are going to be deserted. That's verse 16. So Isaiah is saying, these two kings that you are so worried about, remember he was surrounded by these two kingdoms, these two kings that you are so worried about, their nations, their lands are going to be deserted in the lifespan of this child, this little baby that Isaiah has in his hands. The presence of this boy, Isaiah's son, is a sign. And the time frame is relatively short. Indeed, by 732 BC, the northern tribes of Israel had been overrun by, you guessed it, the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army that Ahaz is looking to, calling to for deliverance, is going to come and be used by the Lord to wipe out these armies that had then been surrounding King Ahaz and Jerusalem. Indeed, we see this, if you still have your Bibles open, in 8 verse 17, Isaiah says that these children that you have given to me are a sign and portent to Israel and the Lord of hosts. So the deliverance that God is going to give to Ahaz and to the southern tribe of Judah and Jerusalem as a whole is a blessing that God has promised, particularly for these people in this particular time. God is with his people. And then interestingly, if you still have your Bibles open, look at 8 verse 8 and 8 verse 10. We hear the same word. What is that word? Emmanuel. God with us. So God is with his people before Emmanuel in the book of Matthew comes. God is here with his people. God is saving the tribes of Judah. He's saving his remnant right here in this particular time. God was already here. He was already present. He was already working. There was comfort. There was deliverance. The enemy will not overwhelm you, Ahaz. I'm going to keep you safe. And I'm going to use the Assyrian army to be the instrument of my vengeance on your enemies. But as I said before, it's a mixed message. Because although Assyria will come and take care of these armies that are surrounding the nation of Judah, they are also going to be a scourge, a whip, a thorn, a bee, a hornet that is going to harass you like a razor is going to shave your head. So the Assyrian army that you are calling out for deliverance to is going to be used by me not only to take care of your enemies, but I'm going to use it as a whip against you yourself. It's a mixed message for Ahaz. Good news, bad news. Curse upon the land found here in our passage in verses 18 through 20. So the coming of the Emmanuel, the promise of the Lord appearing and being with his people, is not always good news. It depends on your faith, if you are a believer or not. If the arrival of God with his people, God coming, is it good news or is it not good news? Well, it depends if you're a person of faith. The promised coming of Emmanuel is not always good news. Because we see this even with the first coming of Jesus Christ. With the first coming of Jesus Christ, you have the star in the sky, which is a sign of the Son of Man appearing. And then when Jesus Christ comes back, you have the sign of the Son of Man coming on the day of judgment. Was the star in the sky and the appearance of angels, was it good news? Did everyone rejoice? Well, just as it was in the coming of Jesus Christ, so it will be when Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of glory. Not everyone is going to be happy when Emmanuel comes. Will you be found faithful? Well, what about this specific promise of a child born back in our text in 7 verse 14, where we have, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Although Isaiah and his sons were a particular promise which accompanied a direct blessing of deliverance for Ahaz and the people of Judah, there is embedded in the promise of the coming Isaiah a specific woman who will have a specific child. As I said before, there are layers. There are multiple layers of fulfillment. Isaiah did have a wife. That's 8 verse 3. And we do know that Isaiah had at least two sons, but Isaiah's wife was not a virgin. So Isaiah's sons could not be the Emmanuel that is here promised. The word for Hebrew for virgin is Alma, and that word is almost always used as a reference to an unmarried maiden who is marriageable age but is not yet married and is a virgin. And then when this particular passage is brought up again in Matthew 1, verse 23, the Greek word for virgin is parthenos, which is always a virgin. So who is the virgin who is going to conceive and give birth to a son whose name will be Emmanuel? Now, as you know, virgins don't conceive and give birth to children. This is a particular, unique, unparalleled event. By way of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is going to be conceived in the womb of Virgin Mary, and the coming of Jesus Christ will be the Emmanuel. and there will be signs that accompany his arrival. The sign of a child, this will be a sign to you. You'll find the child laying in a manger. That was a sign for the shepherds. You have the sign of the star in the sky, the sign that will be followed by the wise men from the east. But as it was in the days of Isaiah, so it is in the days of Jesus Christ, that the promise of the sign and the arrival of the Emmanuel is not received by all, and it's not welcomed by all. What happened when Jesus Christ came? Was it not the rejection and the rebellion of the leaders of Israel who did not want anything to do with the arrival of this Christ child? In Matthew chapter 1, we find not everyone delights in the promised son. Not everyone is looking forward to the sign of this promised child. Just as the sign was rejected by Ahaz in our passage in Isaiah 7, you have King Herod and the leaders of Israel who hear about the coming Christ child and they make plans to destroy him because they do not want this one to be their king. So King Herod and the people rejected the promised sign of God's deliverance. Again, quoting from John chapter 1, Jesus came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who do believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. So the promise of the coming Emmanuel is good news to those who receive the promise with hearts of faith. What is Emmanuel? The word Emmanuel means God with us. The word M-I-M means with, and L is God, so it is God who is with us. How does Jesus Christ fulfill this prophecy? Well, Jesus Christ is not only a sign of God's presence with his people, he literally is God with us. John 1 says that Jesus Christ took on flesh and dwelt with us or tabernacled with us. The coming of Jesus Christ is not only a sign of God's presence, he is God's presence. God dwelling with man. I mean, what an amazing gift that we have in Jesus Christ. This prophecy of the Emmanuel was given over 700 years before Jesus Christ comes. And when he arrives, Matthew makes it clear, this is the one that Isaiah was speaking of. Not one word of God would fall flat. Not one promise would remain unfulfilled. The presence, the arrival of Jesus Christ is good news of great joy for us because God is coming to us to save us, to deliver us, to ransom us from our foes. Not the foe of the northern tribes in Syria, not the foe of Assyria, but the foe of sin, death, and hell, delivering us from the kingdom of Satan and bringing us into the kingdom of light. God, in his grace, has sent out a Savior, his Son, to be a sign. He will protect us from every foe, delivering us from all of our enemies. No man can stop the Almighty God from choosing his remnant, sending his sign, saving his people, and being our Emmanuel. So deliverance is found in him and him alone. To conclude, when this prophecy was spoken by Isaiah, we don't know exactly how much Isaiah knew or how much he understood, but he was ministering to us. This particular prophecy is meant to strengthen our faith, to prove to us beyond a doubt God keeps his word. Our gracious God provides the sign of the Emmanuel to those who do not deserve this blessing. God was weaving together the prophecy of his own son coming through the voice of Isaiah to be born of the Virgin Mary. God was using the voice of Isaiah to promise the coming Emmanuel, God with us. Although Emmanuel is not the personal name given to Jesus Christ at his birth, the fact remains that he fulfills what Emmanuel promises. God now dwells with man in peace because of our Emmanuel. Praise God for this gift. Praise God for his sign. Humble yourself and embrace the sign with a heart of faith. Receive this sign and the promised deliverance that Jesus Christ has secured, and trust in the appointed Emmanuel to bring peace and the presence of God with man. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the work of Jesus Christ foretold all those years ago. And we thank you for the deliverance and fellowship that Christ has secured. God dwells with us. You dwell with us. We thank you for Jesus, who is our Emmanuel. And we thank you for securing the forgiveness of our sins and the deliverance from all our foes. Through Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.